At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
Getting you ready for all of Sunday's betting action. This is Sunday Bet Prep on VSiN, the sports betting network.
It is Sunday Bet Prep, presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. Dave Ross, Will Hill coming at you here. I am at Circus Sportsbook, fabulous Las Vegas, Nevada. I believe I was here this morning, and I'm back tonight, Will, to do the 3 hours with you, my friend. How is Connecticut this time of year?
It's okay. I'm going to be honest. We'll start the show off with some honesty. I turned on the TV, the VSiN app here in the morning, wow. And I heard my man Dave Ross. I felt a little, betrayed, a little cheated on. It's, you know, he's having a good time with Lombardi. Doesn't seem as happy with me. So I got a little jealous. You ever had a jealous? Has jealousy ever been an issue in a relationship? I felt a little jealousy.
Are you kidding me? All of my old co-hosts.
Yeah, of course.
All of my old co-hosts. They'd say, hey, you look like you had more fun on that show than this show. I'm like, no. Equal fun across the board. Had a good time with Michael Lombardi this morning. Gonna have a great time with Will Hill tonight for the next 3 years. But you know what?
This is why you're single. You make everyone jealous.
You know what? It was great picking the brain of Michael this morning. We're gonna talk a lot about the NFL draft. Obviously, it is finally put to bed. All 7 rounds in the books today. We'll get to some winners and losers. It's gonna be a lot of fun because I think what we're gonna try to do is give our, I think grades can be worthless. We understand that, right? But we'll give the grades as we saw them for certain teams that we really liked. Maybe some teams we really didn't like what we saw. But when you're sitting there with a GM, a guy's won, you know, at the highest of levels, and you get to pick his brain, and you know, it all seems to start and end with Michael Penix Jr. at 8 at the ATL. That's where the big shockwaves came, because you and I talked many times leading up to the draft what we kind of thought would happen. And I don't think there was any real surprise until then, right? Did it shift the draft into a different direction because of the pick at 8? Or did we expect chaos? We just didn't know where it was coming.
Yeah, I don't know if it shifted anything. If you followed the betting markets, just look, I bet more than I probably wanted to. It ended up all right. It ended up pretty good. But just talking to everybody, talking to see who they're talking to, there was a lot of steam that the quarterbacks were going earlier than expected. Speaking of Michael Lombardi was very adamant that Knicks was going first round, Penix was going first round. The numbers indicated it. And, you know, people are on this network and other places say, hey, under 4.5 quarterbacks, the quarterbacks always fall. That was a reasonable position. Hey, just let history be your guide. But I think the thing people overlooked, we sat here all year last year during the NFL season, week in, week out. What were we constantly talking about? Man, the quarterbacks stink. Man, the quarterback playing this league is bad. Plus, you add in the fact that the quarterbacks next year in the draft are perceived to be weak. So if you have bad quarterbacks this year and you got bad quarterbacks next year, you got to get your quarterback somewhere. So it's not a surprise that teams maybe reached or went and grabbed extra ones. The Penix one, we can come up with a list if we have time for an extra segment. Most shocking picks in the top 10 of all time. I was just running them out there. I was doing it on my podcast. I was doing it with humans last night. The ones that come to mind, Mario Williams over Reggie Bush, that was a shocker. Doesn't seem like a shocker at the time that somebody would not take a running back first overall, but at the time, the consensus was obviously it's going to be Reggie Bush the next. Edgerrin James over Ricky Williams. That was absolute stunner at the time. Ricky Williams was thought to be a generational running back.
And they got that right. Looking back.
They were both really good.
They were both very good.
They're both, yes. You could not have said, hey, that was a bust. That was a mistake. So this was right up there. I mean, to spend the money you spend on a quarterback, then take him eighth. It's one thing if he was like, all right, yeah, the 23rd pick and Drake May fell to you. And hey, we can't pass on the value. You reached for him and you just had a quarterback. Very strange. So a lot to discuss. I did like some things some other teams did. And if you're just, if you love college football and you love the NFL, they sort of merge on this day. And the Saturday is really for the sickos. If you're still sitting there, pick in, pick out on Saturday. You're a real sicko.
I was watching up until UFC Vegas 91 started. They did have my full attention at that point. Obviously, we're going to talk a lot about the NBA playoffs. Marcus Hayes is going to join us here at the bottom half of this hour to break down what he's seen today. Really, I saw you tweet about it too, and we're going to defend our tweet in hour number three of the show today, where Dan Moneyline Miller, our esteemed producer, will pick a tweet that we don't know what he's picked, and you and I are going to have to defend our tweets. And I saw you put one out there, with the exception of basically two games so far in the postseason, it just hasn't been very aesthetically pleasing to the eye, and we got more of the same today. I mean, the Celtics and Heat, that thing was like 12-3, and that thing was never in doubt. Seas won by 20. They're up 2-1. Thunder, I mean, what they did to the Pellies today, and I know there's no Zion, but they're up 3-0. That series is all but officially over. And then the Magic, maybe the surprise of the bunch, is that series two is 2-2. And that one, they just flipped it in the third quarter in the Cavs and wasn't really competitive. And right now the Lakers are up big as they try to stave off elimination against the Nuggets. We're not getting a whole lot of drama here, game in, game out, in the playoffs so far.
Which is not unusual for the first round of the NBA playoffs. It's usually chalk. It's usually lopsided. The one kills the eight, the two kills the seven. Then like the 3-6, 4-5 series are good. This year, we thought there was more parity. The series would be good. Like Suns, Timberwolves, who thought that would be such a blowout? A lot of these series just being, even Pelicans, Thunder, some of these other series you thought would be a little more competitive, but it's not even the series. It's just game in, game out, like you mentioned. We got the two games on Monday night, the Knicks, Sixers, that crazy ending. That was a crazy ending. And then the Murray buzzer beater. And then we got the Friday afternoon game with, the Middleton tying it with the threes, yeah, and Haliburton eventually wins it. That was a good game. But, I mean, we're talking three good games here out of, 20-something. So I would think it would turn at some point if these series hold in the West. We're looking at a hell of a second round. You would think if it's Mavs Thunder and it's Nuggets T-Wolves, it'd be hard to imagine those series not being good. But, we got four games Sunday to discuss. We got Saturday's games to discuss. So hopefully we can find some winners. Yeah, but from an entertainment standpoint, man, you turn these games on and it's just – you're in and out. You're watching the draft. You're watching baseball. You check in, 20-point game. All right, no need to watch it. The Magic, like you said, that was the one interesting one because they're down 9.5. You figure, all right, Cavs kind of messed around on Thursday night and got blown out, which flew under the radar because it was the draft. But you figure the Cavs flipped the switch and would put this series away, go up 3-1, and the Magic just killed them. I think they outscored them 37-10 in the third quarter, ended up winning by 30, a 40-point blowout in the second half. So that was a surprising one. So we'll see if we can find some winners on Sunday. But just from an enjoyment standpoint, it really hasn't been there.
The amazing thing, too, and you mentioned we got four games in the docket tomorrow. We're going to talk a lot about them. Obviously, try to find some angles here to bet it for tomorrow. First game on the docket will be the Knicks and Sixers. Sixers trying to even up that series at two games apiece. I mean, let's address the elephant in the room. You mentioned it, the word entertainment, that from the fans' perspective, it hasn't been very entertaining. If it wasn't for the entertainment aspect of this, is there any way Joel Embiid would be playing in game four if that was a regular season fiasco? Because we're talking about the NFL draft. Joel Embiid's tackling guys on basketball courts in non-basketball plays, and somehow we're just supposed to turn the other cheek and look the other way like nothing happened. How is that humanly possible?
Yeah, I mean, look, if this is we can do the back in my day. If this was the 90s, if this was the Knicks, if this was the Riley Knicks, well, somebody would be diving at his knee tomorrow.
Yes.
I mean, there would be, you throw at my guy, I throw at your guy.
Yes.
And you couldn't say that would be unfair. We'll see how it unfolds tomorrow. It's in Philly. So that's one of the series, or if not the series, that still has some juice. It's New York. It's Philly. There's a regional rivalry. Philly's down 2-1, but they probably have, they do have the best player when Embiid's healthy and Embiid is, firing on all cylinders. So that one is probably, I would think, ticketed to 7. There's some bad blood. There's the connection with the Knicks guys that went to Nova, mm-hmm, playing in Philly. So there's a lot of little subplots. It's a pretty evenly matched series. If you get a game 7 in the Garden, especially, if you're looking forward, you're probably going to get Indiana, a very beatable opponent in the second round. It's almost like a double series where, hey, if we win game 7, we're probably going to go to the conference finals. Of course, not that you can completely discount Indiana, but you know, if you're the Knicks, you're not really worried about the Pacers. Even if you're Philly, you're not really worried about the Pacers. So that's the one series, that's the one game that still has some juice. I would expect Philly to probably tie it. I would lean towards laying the points, but that one still has some interest, I think.
You mentioned the Bucks and the Pacers, and that will be a very important game for Milwaukee tomorrow. Dame is now dinged up too.
Yeah.
Giannis, remember this time last week we're talking, and what did Doc Rivers say? Hey, he might play tomorrow. Here we are a week later, and look, 9.5 is the number now.
A lot of points.
I mean, Dame Moneyline Miller doesn't even like to see the graphic up on the screen because it's just depressing for his Bucks at this point. But like, the number's right. If Dame can't go, Giannis isn't going, how in the world can they win this game? Not that I'm running to the window the way to the 9.5 still with a young team in Indiana, but boy, it looks like they got their sea legs after game one, and it again doesn't get to look much better than this if you're the Pacers.
Yeah, I mean, we say that. I guess the only case for the Bucks is, hey, it's the NBA, and you see this all the time. Hey, this star sat, that star sat.
Yeah.
Well, they lost like 20 points, and weird things happen that you can't explain. But a lot of the time, that's the regular season where, hey, we know your stars are out, so we take the foot off the gas, and we look up, and we're losing to your backups. I don't know that I see it here, but I think you put it well. Am I really dying to basically lay double digits here with the Pacers? Probably not. I don't know that they're good enough on defense, but would expect them to win, obviously. Would put them up 3-1. And then if you're Milwaukee, like, how close is Giannis? Can you bring him back in a game five? You just say, you know what, this isn't our series? It's interesting, too. If you notice, just big picture throughout the league, a lot of these teams that went all in with their picks, Suns, no picks for the rest of eternity, basically, the next decade. Clippers, really all in with their picks. The Bucks gave all these picks for Milwaukee. I mean, none of them are getting past the first round. There's going to be some questions to answer here.
Now, again, not that we're going to play conspiracy theorists, but if the Knicks were able to get by the Sixers and knock out Embiid, if the Lakers can't make some miraculous comeback and AD and the King are dead, if Kawhi and the Clips can't come, he's out. We've already seen Jimmy Butler's out, obviously. Yeah. You're going to be devoid of star. No Giannis, no Dame. I mean, this is bad for business of the NBA.
Yeah, well, you still got Jokic. You still got the Celtics. I think
does Jokic and even a Doncic, do those guys move it?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because we're so primitive in the United States. Like, well, those are Euro guys. Right. What about our guys, right? What about our king?
We're going to have to get used to it. You look, unless you want to say Edwards, which he's going to be that at some point. I don't know if that he's quite there yet. But Curry's not in the second round. LeBron and Durant probably not going to be in the second round. Kawhi's limping around. It's a new wave. It's a West now. It's about Luka, Jokic, Shea Alexander.
And it's going to be about Wemby before too long.
Yeah, it's a new guard. It's certainly a changing of the guard here.
Woo-wee. A lot of American stars might be watching on TV like the rest of us. All right, let's give out some grades when we come back for the NFL draft. Some teams that we thought very highly of now that it's complete, and maybe some that we think missed the mark. Come on back. We continue Sunday Bet Prep right here on Visa.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
This is Sunday Bet Prep on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Check it out. VSiN.com. Best bets, betting splits, exclusive articles, odds by state like Connecticut. Betting tools, betting guides, they're all there for you. Get you ready for your betting day each and every day. So start it off by checking out VSiN.com. Back alongside Will Hill, Dave Ross here. Pull back the curtain a little bit. During the break, had some beef jerky. Now, the guys get on me a lot because I used to just bring in Slim Jims. Step into a Slim Jim! Like Randy Macho Man Savage used to do back in the day. R.I.P. And then when you have like really good days, I've upped the game to this local Vegas game day beef jerky. I'm not getting paid for the advertising, so don't fire me for that. So I got some stuck in my teeth. So to young broadcasters out there, Will, I would say don't eat beef jerky during the break when you have to come back, especially if it's spicy. It gets stuck in the choppers a little bit there. But look.
And quick little programming note. Our producer, Dan Miller, he didn't realize this, but he was mic'd up during the break. So we appreciate Dan Miller and all his services to Visa, and he'll no longer be working with us after all the F-bombs he dropped during the break. But his rant on the Bucks will be up on VSiN.com, so check the website.
Dan will not be invited over to Doc Rivers' house for Christmas. That is, in fact, fact.
It's unfortunate when the best part of the show is during the break.
Yeah, no, you can't. Well, we got FCC laws. There's certain things we can and cannot say on the air. But I feel Dan's pain as a Bucks backer. Big fan. They want a chip. They got Giannis. You got Dame. Then you bring in Doc, and this is supposed to work out. They're going to get saved by injuries, ironically. If they lose this first round, it's going to be, well, no Dame for the rest of it. If the Achilles is shot, no Giannis. And that's where they begin. You know Doc Rivers. He's going to figure out a way to make this not about Doc Rivers. He'll say,
absolutely.
Right, it won't be Doc Rivers' fault. It can't be Doc Rivers' fault. It's got to be everybody else's fault.
Can you imagine, remember when they traded for Lillard, how the odds shifted and people, they were rejecting bets. They were the short shot to win the title. I think they did creep past Denver and Boston. Imagine telling you right now, hey, this team, they're not going to win a round. They're going to lose in the first round to Indiana in the 3-6 matchup. I mean, there's still two more games to go. We've seen how these series turn, but with the 2-1 deficit, with the injuries, it's probably headed that way. And there's always been kind of whispers that Giannis, would he look around? Is he super happy with Milwaukee?
Oh, he'll run through a window. Don't do this to Dan during the show.
It's going to be out there. Again, some of these teams that go home early, if Embiid with the Sixers, if the Clippers guys, the Suns guys, with the Suns who have no picks, they say, hey, what are we doing here? We have no picks. We're not a title team. Maybe we go the other direction, try to get some of these picks back. There's going to be some interesting NBA offseason, even if the postseason is not that interesting, at least right now, there's going to be some interesting offseason subplots where some of these teams that went all in say, you know what, we're not as close as we think. Some of these superstars might be unhappy. And who knows what we see this summer.
Look, if the Bucks get gentlemen swept out of there, if the Lakers get gentlemen swept, if the Suns get swept, in the immortal words of LeBron James, it's just basketball.
Just basketball.
Who cares? Just basketball.
And LeBron has a player option too. I mean, at that point, we're gonna have that conversation too of will he or won't he, or what's gonna happen with LeBron.
You cannot pop champagne, put goggles on for an in-season tournament, then potentially get swept or gentlemen swept out, and then say it's just basketball. If you cared so much about a meaningless tournament, care about the damn playoffs, King. I'm off my soapbox. Let's get back to the NFL draft. Because we're going to give out some grades. And Will, I'm going to start with you. Did anybody ace the Will Hill NFL draft?
I liked what the Chiefs did. I'll give a couple A's here. And I think, like you said, the grades are a little ridiculous. Let's do it anyway. What the hell? I really like what the Chiefs did. They didn't have a ton of picks, but especially early to get Worthy, move up and get him, the speed. I mean, if you watch him in college, he was constantly getting overthrown, underthrown by Quinton Ewers. He's not going to be getting overthrown by Patrick Mahomes. He's not going to outrun Patrick Mahomes.
Mahomes
is going to hit him if he's open. Absolutely. They get an offensive lineman from BYU. A lot of people thought would go in the first round. So I think the Chiefs really supplemented the team. And the Chargers. I mean, the Chargers, we talked about this leading up to the draft. Harbaugh, he's not a curveball guy. He's going to throw you fastballs. He's going to tell you what he's thinking. He's not going to mislead you. He's a direct guy. He's a meat and potatoes guy. So now there was thought maybe they take Latham, but we were pretty confident if they took the fifth pick, if they what's the expression now, stick and pick, which I'd never heard until 3 days ago.
Stick and pick.
I heard it 100 times Wednesday and Thursday. I'd never heard it until like Tuesday, but we knew they were probably going to take an offensive lineman. You get all And then you get Ladd McConkey to pair up with Herbert.
Oh, yeah.
They're going to be – he's going to put a good team together. He wins everywhere. Matt Eumanns made the point last night. When he took over from Michigan, the goal was catch Ohio State. And it took him a year, 2 years, 3 years. You creep up. And eventually, like year five, six, seven, he'd catch him. And he, you know, beat him a few years in a row. Might be the same with the Chiefs. For this year, he's not going to catch him. But he's going to creep closer to the Chiefs. And I thought some of these receivers, you know, late first round, early second round, found nice homes. McConkey gets Herbert. Keon Coleman gets Josh Allen. Worthy gets Mahomes. I thought some of, you know, so much of the receivers, where you go. I mean, Neighbors is a hell of a player, but you got Daniel Jones throwing the ball to you. It's not the best scenario. So Chargers, Chiefs are teams I thought had really good drafts. How about if I asked you who had the best draft, where would you go?
You know, it's funny because you and I have talked about this team a lot. I really did like what the Vikings did. And it's not so much that it's J.J. McCarthy, because I still think there's a chance Sam Darnold starts week one. Let's see if he gets real time to possibly get that job, if J.J. needs time to get ready. But it's in conjunction with what they did in free agency, getting Aaron Jones, right? Getting him from Green Bay, I think, was a big coup, that you can put these guys around a young quarterback if it's J.J. McCarthy. You only had to move up one spot to 10 to get him. And then the pick, and you know this, the guy I really loved in the draft, I cannot believe that people have already forgotten how the Chiefs won the Super Bowl last year with defense. When people have already overlooked that fact, and then they're not drafting defensive guys at all. I thought Dallas Turner was the best defensive player in the draft. We'll find out if that's fact or fiction, you know, probably halfway through the year for the rookies. But to get him at 17, to be able to trade back up at the first round and get Dallas Turner with Brian Flores, and the way he likes to get after quarterbacks, like that defense, I thought was really what held them back. They could still score last year, and obviously Kirk getting hurt, and they had to throw in quarterbacks, and they just weren't capable. But if you've got capable quarterback play, whether that's Sam Darnold or J.J. McCarthy, you've got weapons around him. And then the defense, I think, got a lot better in this draft for Brian Flores. Brian Flores is a guy I trust to run a defense. I don't know if I want him as my head coach. I want him as my D coordinator. There's no doubt about that. And then if I want a guy coaching quarterbacks, I want it to be Kevin O'Connell. So, like, for what they do, and, like, Brian, you take this kid. Kevin, you take this kid. I really think the Vikings, with their two first-round picks, I thought they nailed those picks. Again, time will tell who J.J. McCarthy is, but I think they're setting him up for a lot of success. A couple teams I gave strong B grades to were the Steelers, and not my Cowboys, but our Cowboys, America's team. Because I thought the Cowboys, they had to fill holes, and I put out there before the draft the needs for the Cowboys. And they basically filled every one of the needs. I know running back. People are going to go, do you really have a running back? I think it's becoming one of the most devalued positions in the league. Sure, you'd like to have one, but go ask Green Bay. They were ready to just say, go ahead, Aaron Jones, and we'll just go get somebody at Oakland, at Las Vegas, rather, and we'll go ahead and replace you. I think those are replaceable key cogs and machines. To do what they did at the offensive line, trade down to 29 from 24 for the Cowboys, and then get a third-round pick and go out there and get another linebacker that they desperately needed as well. They also got a guard, potential center. The offensive line is getting reworked. It was not a sexy draft for the Cowboys, and those normally turn out to be the best ones for the Cowboys, where they don't go with these skill players that everybody wants. They go with the trenches guys. They go get an edge rusher. That's the way. Exactly. Just really meat, potatoes, non-sexy, you know, finish your meal or else you won't get dessert type of draft for the Cowboys. And I thought the Steelers did the same thing. You know, you go get an offensive lineman in the first round. What do the Steelers really need? They need an O-line. And I think the Steelers did a really good job of fortifying what their biggest weakness was. Again, in conjunction with free agency, because the quarterback room was not good last year. Will it be better with Russell Wilson this year and Justin Fields? Time will tell. But I think that everything around, kind of like Minnesota, I think got a lot better. Look, their defense was already, to me, a play-on team. Pittsburgh and Mike Tomlin, people get tired of hearing it, never had a losing record. With some of these quarterbacks, it's actually amazing he's never had a losing record because his defense keeps him in every game. They're going to do it again this year. They're going to get a lot better on the offensive line, and they've got a skill set on the outside and can certainly run the ball with Najee Harris and company and Warren. I really like what the Steelers are doing. Not ready to give A grades to the Cowboys and Steelers, but I think solid Bs. And by the way, these are play-on teams for me in wins markets. I got a long shot ticket on the Steelers at 12-1 to win the division. That number's long gone. That was before the Russell Wilson trade. I got one at 9-1, 10-1 for the Vikings to win. I'll be curious to see where those numbers have gone. They haven't moved yet. But I think you're going to find out that It's not just about the quarterbacks. Certainly in Pittsburgh and Minnesota, it's about everything else. And again, coaching in this league matters more than just about any other. I trust those coaches and those coaching staffs to be able to put together and put these rookies in good places. I really like what the Vikings, Cowboys, and Steelers have done.
Yeah, but we got to get to the negative. We'll have to do that either next segment or coming up, because negatives always.
Let's hold the negatives. Let's do that in hour number two, because when we come back, Marcus Hayes is going to join us to talk all things Philadelphia, NBA, Joel Embiid. Whew, it's getting really hot in that series with the Knicks. So come on back. We will do that when you come back with us right here as we continue Sunday Bet Prep.
This is Sunday Bet Prep on VSiN, the sports betting network.
We are back here as we continue Sunday Bet Prep. Dave Ross and Will Hill coming at you from Las Vegas and Connecticut, respectively. Will, what's your opinion of Philly fans in general? Are they ever happy?
I'm a Northeast guy, so I mean, I get it. I have a bunch of friends that are Philly fans. I get the disposition. I get the intensity, the edge. So Northeast, it's all the same. It's just different cities.
Like New York, Chicago, Philly, they can lay claim to the best and worst fans out there. Let's bring in Marcus Hayes, sports columnist from the PhiladelphiaEnquirer.com, sports radio 94WIP host on the Progressive Guest Line. Marcus, great to have you on. I got to start right there. Does Philadelphia get a bad rap overall for their fandom? Because I'm with Will. I've been there many a times covering teams from D.C. in the past. They'll let you know, and especially if they know that you're not from Philadelphia.
I think the Philadelphia fan reputation, I'm not a Philadelphian, but I've been here for 30 years, most of my life here, is exactly accurate. I mean, they do a lot of bad stuff. They're very passionate. But you know what? Like, one of the things about that was about 15, 20 years ago, a Philadelphia native lived in South Philly, raised in South Philly, still lives in South Philly, explained to me that there's a contingent of the fans that likes that reputation and does stuff to make sure that reputation perpetuates itself. So I have no sympathy for Philly fans. I have disdain for Philly fans who don't own it, but I have respect for Philly fans who own it.
Well, then let's get right to it, because Will and I talked a little bit about it with Game 3 and the shenanigans with Joel Embiid as we get ready for Game 4 tomorrow as the Sixers try to even up that series. I guess, are we just ignoring the Joel Embiid tackle and kind of some of the instances that we saw? Because I got to think, if this wasn't the playoffs, he actually might face some sort of, I don't want to say suspension, but hey, in Philly and in New York, I guess it's just a play on, right?
Well, I will say this, like, Joel Embiid is a pretty dirty player. Like, he's not Draymond, but he's a pretty dirty player. He gets frustrated. Like, Shaq used to get frustrated, and he'll follow through, and he'll, like, you know, give you a little nudge and things like that. He'll hit you with his shoulder by accident, quote-unquote. So there's like a baseline for Joel Embiid, like that concussion baseline test. There's like a physicality, dirty play baseline test for Joel. And that probably went a little bit over it, but there's no way. Well, he's Joel Embiid. He's a reigning MVP. There's no way he's going to get thrown out for doing anything less than throwing a punch. And, you know, I think if Mitchell Robinson had been hurt coming down and Joel had hurt him, it'd be one thing. He might have gotten ejected, a flagrant two, but it was a flagrant one. The thing that's remarkable about it is usually when Joel picks up three early fouls, like, think about it. He kneed Isaiah Hartenstein in the groin. He had another offensive foul, and he undercut Mitchell Robinson. He was out of control. He regained control, scored 50 points with one bad eye because he had Bell's palsy, a bad knee that he had operated on last year, and had never scored more than 40 points in a playoff game before that, in a must-win game. It was really, there are a lot of dynamics to what Joel did the other night, but it was certainly memorable. I'm glad I was there.
Marcus, what is the disposition of the Philly fan going into this game, into this series? They haven't had a lot of postseason success, lost series they should have won. Are they optimistic? Are they waiting for the other shoe to drop? What is the average Philly fan thinking heading into a pivotal game four here?
Well, heading into the series, I think it was kind of like, okay, they're going to lose again. Joel's coming off another injury. He didn't play the last game of the season. He played the play-in game, yada, yada, yada. You know, they were like, okay, so here we go again. And then after game one, they were pretty disappointed. But after game two, they knew that they should have beaten the Knicks. There were a couple calls at the end of the game they didn't get. I mean, a couple turnovers, a couple missed box outs as well. But they realized, Philadelphia fans realized, they're a better team. They're a more talented team than the Knicks are. The Knicks have just been beating them up. They've been playing harder. And Joel Embiid, Kyle Lowry, if you remember, smacked Dante DiVincenzo, a fellow Villanova alum, in the head for the first of the two flagrant fouls in the first half. The Sixers set a tone. Kyle Lowry, North Philly guy, set a tone. Joel Embiid set a tone. And the rest of the players played harder. Kelly Oubre had 15 points. He wouldn't have had 15 points if he didn't play hard. He played a lot harder. So going into game four, I honestly think Philadelphia fans expect to win the series. It's unusual. I think only 7% of the teams in a seven-game series that went down 2-0 came back and won the series. But Nick Nurse coached one of those teams. So, you know, it's not impossible. It's improbable. Maybe more improbable when your best player has a lingering knee issue and a concurrent, you know, viral infection that affects the left side of his face. But, hey, you know, that's why we watch the games. The drama's great. But to answer your question, I think Philadelphia fans expect to win this series now.
It's Sixers, by the way, for game four tomorrow. 4.5-point favorites. That total is 208.5. And, Marcus, what style would behoove Philadelphia to play? Because Joel is lumbering, you can see it. It's pronounced. Should it be more half court? Or, hey, if the other four can get out in front and then he kind of trails, so be it. Do they have to play a certain way to win game four?
Well, they are, you know, wildly a plus team when he's on the floor. If you're into analytics, like he's like they're like plus every game when he's on the floor. So the strategy when he's on the floor is play through him, which works great. My contention is that when he's not on the floor, you flip the script. You let Tyrese Maxey run wild. You let Campaign run wild. You, if it means Tobias Harris, who's a little bit older, has to come out, you take him out. You set up Nick Batum in the corner. You set up Buddy Hield on the wing, and you just run, because Paul Reed, Joel's backup, that's pretty much all he can do competently in the NBA is run. But he is a runner. He'll go, and he's a dunker, and he'll get out on the break. So I think you turn your team's offensive attack around when Joel's not on the floor. So, yes, you play half court when he's there, and then you abandon that because it's a speed team on the other end, especially when Campaign is in the game. Campaign's the backup point guard who can play with Tyrese Maxey, and he was really the difference maker on, I guess it was Thursday night? Yeah, on Thursday night, he was the difference maker. It was the first minutes of the series, and he made good on him.
Marcus, do you get the sense there's increased stakes here when you look at the other side of the bracket, who would be facing them with the Bucks limping around, probably going to get knocked out here unless they can get some of these guys back. A very beatable Pacers team in the next round. You get the sense this is almost like a double series. If you can get past the Knicks, you're probably going to go to the conference finals. And who do you like here in game four?
Well, I like the Sixers. I picked the Sixers in six. I didn't pick them I thought they'd split the games in New York, but I still like them in six. I think they can win four in a row against this Knicks team, which is really Jalen Brunson and a bunch of guys who hope they hit three-pointers. The Sixers have done a much better job on the glass, so I think the Sixers should win the series. It's really funny. Usually I'm very attuned to the very flawed NBA bracket where they don't reshuffle and stuff. So my contention, I guess, would be they don't really care who they play as long as it's not Boston, and it won't be, right? So I think that's kind of all they care about. They know they're the second most talented team, second best team in the East with Joel when Milwaukee doesn't have Giannis. So all the rest of it is equal. It would be hilarious if after all these machinations of the process, quote-unquote, I think now in its 11th year, Joel Embiid's been a Sixer for 10 years, he was the second big pick in the process. If once they got all the guys involved in the process, except Joel Embiid, sort of flushed out of their system, including Tobias Harris, who's kind of a role player now, but cost them a lot of capital, draft capital, if they got all the process guys out and it was like Tyrese Maxey and Campaign and Buddy Hield and Nick Batum and Kelly Oubre, who pushed them past the second round, that's the big litmus test. They got to get to the Eastern Conference Finals in order to take the next step. If they did it with this sort of like hodgepodge of guys and no second superstar, quote unquote, it would be incredibly satisfying for me, who's not a process guy, and really kind of funny to watch.
Marcus, only have about a minute to go. I don't want to shortchange the Eagles here on draft day, but I got to ask you, you know this being in Philly as long as you have. Nobody's repeated in the NFC East in two decades. The Eagles were the last team to do it in the McNabb era. Are the Eagles going to beat the Cowboys this year after their draft and all their additions with the coaching staff in the offseason? Is this a better Eagles team than what we saw last year at the end of it?
It is a much better Eagles team. They drafted two defensive backs in the first and second. They drafted defensive backs in the first and second round who I expect to start. One at cornerback, Quinyon Mitchell, and one at safety, Cooper DeJean. I know he's a cornerback now, but I expect him to be a starting safety before the season's over. To Dak Prescott's dismay, because both of those guys are pick six guys. So I think the Eagles are certainly the better team. And, you know, this is not a knock on the Cowboys, because I felt the same way with him about him when he was with Green Bay. Mike McCarthy has stolen more money than anybody in the history of the NFL. God bless him. You know, take it if they'll give it to you, right?
Marcus, that is fantastic. Thanks for joining us on the Progressive Guest Line. And even though I'm going to have that stricken from the record, you're welcome back in the program anytime. Thanks, Marcus.
Thanks, Marcus.
Thanks, fellas. Thanks for having me.
There he is, everybody. Marcus Hayes does a great job as a sports columnist in Philadelphia with the Philadelphia Inquirer. Come on back. More to get to here on VSiN.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts. If you dare.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
This is Sunday Bet Prep on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Do not miss out on any of the NBA action. The DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA all the way through the finals. DraftKings Sportsbook has got you covered. Same game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, so much more. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app. Use code VSiN, and new customers can bet $5. Get $200 in bonus bets instantly by using the code VSIN only on DraftKings, and the crown can be all yours. I was looking at the graphic here, Will Hill, that they're using for this DraftKings promotion. Luckily, it looks like we're going to have two of the three move on. But we're going to have to get rid of Kawhi. If they don't rally against the Mavs. We'll get to all the NBA.
JVT's not listening. You hope, better hope JVT's not listening. You better hope.
You know what? And I felt bad because I saw JVT, and I don't get to run into him all the time. I ran into him a couple days ago, and he was so happy. They were up one zip. They had just started game two. Kawhi's
back. Remember that.
Remember that? A lot of people we work with, they're also fans like we are. Like we love to bet and we love sports. That's why we do what we do. He looked like as happy as I've seen him. I hope he's okay. Okay, you are the host of a tremendous pod, for those that don't know, called Should Have Bet More. I have bettor's remorse today after UFC Vegas 91. My goodness, since UFC 300, I don't know what's gotten into me. I am on fire. Ooh. On fire. Swept the board. I gave out four dogs. Four barking ruff dogs. Buck 75, buck 65, buck 80. Nothing I put. Yeah. And I mean, Will, slapping them around. Easy. Winner. Ting. Winner. Ting. And then you go to your phone, you go to your apps, and you go into, and you're like, oh man, I got, should have bet more. So, like, so how do we, when we're feeling it, you're like, are you feeling it? You're feeling it. How do you rein in that feeling, Will, when you know, like, you've got this thing pegged, but you don't want to go so far out there that you have exposure? Because I know when you run hot, Will Hill, you want to bet more.
Not easy. I mean, it's, if we had the answers, if we knew which bets were going to win, we wouldn't have to be sitting here working. We'd be on an island somewhere. We'd bet everything we could on the ones that win, and we'd bet a dollar on the ones that lose. The optimum bet size on a losing bet is $0. So I don't know if we all struggle with it. It is a very, I mean, we're making light of it. We both poke fun at it. You know, my podcast, the name of it is Poking Fun at It. It's kind of lighthearted, but it is serious. If you're going to bet, be serious. If you want to maintain like some happiness, some
yes,
just mental balance, it's a very dangerous thing to do where you make a bet and one of two things happens, except for a push. You lose and you're upset, you're miserable. You win and oh man, I should have bet more. I'm miserable for that. That's a dangerous way to go about life. You're not going to enjoy, you know, the I don't want to say.
Enjoy the flowers. Yes. Yeah, when you get the flowers, enjoy them.
Whether you're doing it seriously or not, or just recreationally, you're not going to have fun with it if you're just constantly beating yourself up of, oh man, why didn't I bet more? Be responsible with it. You know, track everything you do, I think, is a good way to do it. If manage your money properly, or hey, if you really like a game, maybe you bet twice what you normally would. There's some great books on how much you should bet and what your bankroll is. You never go all in on a play. You never right. go in like 10, 15% of your bankroll on a play. So if you like, you press it a little bit more, but tracking it and just being responsible. And if you're going to win, you can start to up your unit size because, hey, I'm winning more than I'm not. I can start, my bankroll's bigger. I can bet a little bit more. So it's a whole segment. It's a whole show, but it's definitely something from a psychological standpoint, I think everybody deals with. And you have that recent, you have that, what's it called? Confirmation bias of I won. Well, I knew I was going to win. Well, you didn't know you were going to win. You thought you were going to win. It worked out. And you have that, you have the hindsight. I mean, we don't think about the ones we lose where, oh man, I knew that one was going to win. It's tough. It really is tough.
It's a great point. And we like to kid around about it, but it is about plate discipline, right? Like we talk about it in Major League Baseball, plate discipline. Like if you know what you're looking for in your wagers, don't fire on everything. Fire when you find advantages. And what I try to do in the UFC each and every week, and it's been very, very advantageous the last couple, is I'm very rarely laying, and certainly not laying big faves, right? And I took a bath a little bit last week in the boxing match, ironically, that when we were doing the show. But I did parlay that. I'm never going to lay $6 because I always talk about bankroll management. Where you get one big upset, if you're laying a big fave, that's good. You can have five plus money winners and you lay a big $6 fave that doesn't hit in an individual sport like boxing or MMA. And it just ruins all of your productivity. So remember that. Plate discipline is very smart. Alex Perez, I did like him tonight. He was a plus $1.65 dog against Mateus Nicolau in the main event here at UFC Vegas 91. And you know how like I talk about superstition sometimes too. Normally when I'm driving in the car, it doesn't go well. Golfers, fighters, they just, when I'm listening for whatever reason on the way to work, because look, we can't watch everything. At some point, you got to have a life. Will does other things than just watch sports all day. I don't. Okay. I just watch sports all day. So I'm driving here, and I've already got Bogdan Guskov in the can against Ryan Spann in the co-main event at plus $1.70. I've already got the fight to go the distance in the third fight before the main event in Ariana Lipsky against Karina Silva, and that was plus $1.55, I believe, for that fight to go the distance, which it did. And so I'm sitting here, and I'm going, well, this is going to be the one that upsets the apple cart, right? I'm going to lose the last fight. I can't sweep the board. I had first fight of the night. I had Petrovic via sub. She got that sub. That was plus $1.75. So I'm sitting there 3-0 with one more to go. And then all of a sudden in the car, again, remember, this is a TV broadcast, but I'm listening to Daniel Cormier and Dominic Cruz. They do a great job. This is all you hear in the car. Oh! What happened? I'm in the middle of traffic on the 15. Like, Daniel, help me out here. Oh! And then you have to wait. And then it's like, Alex Perez. And I'm like, yes! It was Alex Perez that got the knockout of Nicolau. So you cash that big ticket, you sweep the board, and you go, Will Hill should have bet more. But no, you really, in all honesty, it's a great feeling when you handicap it and it goes the way that you see things happening. And I think what we try to do on the network for everybody is that's what we're trying to do. Find you pathways to profitable wagers out there. They're not always going to cash. So I see people, you know, they'll tweet me tonight. And they're like, unbelievable. And I'm like, remember this, because these weeks don't happen every single week. Like you said, we wouldn't be here if we could give you four plus solid plus money winners every week. But it was a great night at UFC Vegas 91. And I want to give one shout out to Charlie Arnold. Charlie's a friend of mine. She used to be my intern back in Washington, D.C. over a decade ago. And she's been doing UFC work for ESPN for 3-4 years now, okay? Joe Martinez, because you always tweet about broadcasters. Joe Martinez, I think Joe does a great job. Everybody can't be Bruce Buffer, right? So Joe does a really good job getting you hyped up. And he's calling the action, getting the fighters hyped up. It's UFC Apex. There's no crowd. So it's a sterile environment anyway. It's a tougher job than when you're at a big card like UFC 300. His voice goes. It's a nightmare for us broadcasters. Voice goes in the middle of the show. And all of a sudden they go, for the official decision, let's go to Charlie Arnold. There's Charlie in the octagon going, and the judges have it 30-27, 30-27. Curry, the killer, Silva. And I was like, Charlie. Will, think about the roles we've done in broadcasting, what we do on a nightly basis. And then all of a sudden, in the middle of the show, I said, you got to go do something completely different from what you normally do. That's what Charlie did. She did it for like 2 or 3 fights. And then Joe came back for the main event. I guess he cleared it up and was able to finish the show. But have you, like, I've done weather back in my sports days in D.C. It's a little bit different, but like.
I would love to see those clips. I really would.
Here's what I would do, Will. I'd say, if you don't have to be outside, stay home. The easiest thing ever.
Right? It's a good rule of life. Nothing independent of the weather. If you don't have to be anywhere, stay home.
You see the snow here at Tyson's Corner. It's really bad. The roads are getting icy. Stay home. But like, she killed it. Like, literally, within seconds, it's like, here's a card. The judges just give you the decision. Then you got to go read it. Will Hill, if I made you do that and said, Will, I need you, man. I'm in my throat. I can't go. I need you to go in. Could you ring announce for me?
If I was your intern for a few years, I would be well-groomed and ready to do anything. So I think I could.
I would. See, that's the most fun of what we do. It's like fish out of water stuff, man. Like, and all of a sudden, then you get thrown into the fire, baby. She killed it. So, Charlie, I know you're not listening because I saw her tweet afterwards. She's like, what a rush. And like, that's just a rarity in our business that all of a sudden you're doing one thing. It's not like, you know, if you knew a week in advance, great. It's like literally seconds. Joe can't go. I need you to step in here. And
that probably helped her. That probably helped her. She didn't have time to think about it, worry about it. Just, hey, go do it. Like, you don't have time to get nervous.
What about Will Hill calling football? Like, if I said, I need you to do the Fox game, would you prefer to do color or play-by-play?
Great question. Play-by-play, I think. You really have to know the players. I think knowing the players would be the trickiest part, but I don't think it's that easy. I don't think it's that difficult.
Dennis Miller did color from Monday Night Football. You remember that?
I remember. I do.
I mean, if
2001, something like that. What was it, 1 or 2 years? I don't remember.
I don't know.
He wasn't awful. He wasn't like super funny. He had political humor. It was all very obscure references. So I don't know. Went over a lot of people's heads.
I saw him in concert a long time ago, and I tell people all the time, it's the funniest concert, and I didn't get any of the jokes. Much more to get to. We're going to be catching up with Tanner Kerr next when you come back with us right here on Sunday Bet Prep.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.